Blog Talk Radio.
Here I sit and the words keep coming. They won't go away, they just keep coming.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
I'm ready to blow it just one more sound.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on Facebook.com/TBI Network or at TBIFN.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Brain Injury Awareness Month. That's where we are, March. I'm Terry Smith, your host, Surviving Head Trauma on the Brain Injury Radio Network. Welcome to another month, a little distance around our sun as we move to the universe. I'm Terry Smith, your host, and tonight we're going to take callers and talk about whatever you want to, because that's what we do on Surviving Head Trauma. We talk about whatever you bring to the table. So you've written us writers and letters and send us in mail, email, or call us tonight live, and we want to hear from you. 1-424-243-9540, and you can listen to us on your whatever device chosen, your radio, your computer, your phone, or what is the other one? Tonight, welcome. I'm a little sleepy. I didn't get a nap today. I hope you had a great day. We're going to come back in just about 30 seconds when we find our favorite place you can find somewhere near you. If you are new, we want to let you know about them first, and then we'll get started tonight. The switchboard is really busy. If you want to speak to us, push 1 on your phone, and I'll see your a little hand go up. And we will be right back as soon as we get things. Something's going on here tonight, technically. Hold on a second. Okay, 1 second. We'll get back to it. Hold on 1 second. Thank you. Right back.
Research, treatment, and support speed recovery for the more than 2.5 million children and adults who sustain traumatic brain injuries in the United States each year. March is Brain Injury Awareness Month. Support research and better access to care, and let people with brain injuries know that they are not alone. Call 1-800-444-6443 or visit www.biausa.org to learn more about brain injury.
Biausa.org. If you want to find someone near you, they can generally guide you in the right direction, because it's quite of a maze when you're new to this world of trauma, of brain trauma. And that's our thing this month, brain injury awareness. We want to realize that brain trauma is not only something that happens to you neurologically when your skull crushes your brain, or something small, hitting your head on the concrete wall and doing more damage to reality than most people understand. There's a certain type of trauma in reality, and you deal with things in loss even. So when you lose someone, that can be of a deep loss, a deep trauma, if you will. So tonight we're going to talk with someone who has been through more than just that, but can share with us so much of a world that we think when Brain Injury Awareness Month, that not only does it happen in the emergency room from an accident of some kind, but in reality. So we're going to meet someone who might stimulate that conversation, and that's what she and I are going to do tonight. And just talk. So you can listen, may listen, and if you'd like to chime in, press 1 on your phone, and or your computer or however you're listening to us, and we'll let you chime in. I'm going to introduce you to her, and or let her introduce herself to you and let you see who she is. And hold on 1 second. Let's get on the switchboard. Hello, 904. Hello. Hi. You're on the air. How are you?
And how are you?
I'm fine. I tell my audience, they're wondering, who is, I'll let you introduce yourself. Who are you? Tell us.
Oh,
who are you?
I am Donna.
Welcome to the show. Welcome.
I'm Donna.
Donna.
And,
okay. Tell us about yourself. I mean, you've had a tragedy. I mean, if that's what I'll let you tell us what your tragedy, what's your biggest tragedy? That's a good question for you. Tell us how you why you went through
something. Just being a widow, the loss of a loved one.
So that's painful.
Very traumatic.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, we're gonna get a song going on, and we'll come back and introduce you, and we'll say hello to everyone. Welcome again to another show, wherever you are, morning, noon, night, wherever you're listening, whatever time zone, we're going to say hello and welcome to love.
Too long to show me real.
Took Too Long, Cindy Cook. Check her out on YouTube. She was an original artist in that song, so listen to her, watch her, check her out on YouTube. Cindy Cook, C-Y-N-D-I, and C-O-O-K. And sorry, it took too long to get that little beep going on, but sometimes technical issues happen. And I'm glad you joined us. I'm happy that you joined us. And if you are one of the people who sent us letters, we have so many. We're going to try to find some of them tonight. I'm looking up the file. We're a little technical issues tonight, but I'm going to get the files up, and we're going to talk about the letters you sent us. And you can also reach us by phone. I see some hands up tonight, so we'll get you on air soon. So hang on, and we will talk about it. But first, I want to let everyone know who keeps this network alive, and that's the owner, Craig Cecilia. Thank you. And Kim Justice, who manages everything, all the shows and all the hosts. You can find someone here every night. There's always a different show, and I come on once a month, every fourth Thursday each month, 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. I'm Terry Smith. And tonight we have a guest, Donna. She's going to talk with us for a little bit and see how the conversation goes, because, I mean, she's new to this world of trauma, and her trauma is not as typical as most. Most are invisible, and the ones we can't see are sometimes worse. I mean, it's not better or worse. It's all different, but it's just a different, not worse, different. It's a trauma. And I guess we don't see much after that. We know what trauma is, and we probably can relate to it either from experience or someone who loves it, and we love, and we have to get through it together. So this person tonight hopefully will help us deal with our own journey, because we're all on the same journey, and that's to get home from the place we started. And I think we all know what that means. We all have to go there one day, one day. So without further ado, I'd like to bring on Donna. Donna? Hello, you're live.
Hi, how's everybody doing tonight?
Oh, I wish they could say hello. Maybe they will. Everyone put your hands together and say hello, Donna. Welcome to Surviving Head Trauma, Terry Smith. I'm Terry Smith, your host, and Donna, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
All right.
Maybe
all
we
right.
can
all right.
have a good right. conversation.
Well, I tell you, I'm not sure where to start. You've been through so much. I mean, a lot of people, when they think of trauma, they think of something from the outside, pow, hit them in the head, some type of impact, if you will, or something that breaks the skull, hurts the brain.
Yeah, there's all
kind
of tragedies that can cause debilitating consequences. It's not always the head. It's the heart. It's the body. It's a lot.
Tell us about yours.
I'm sure everybody has their own story, and I would love to hear their stories.
I want to hear your story. We want to hear your story. You want as much as you feel like sharing. You don't have to tell as much anything you don't, and as much as you want. So we're here to listen and hope that you feel comfortable. Are you comfortable? I mean, is this your first time on air, or have you ever done?
Oh, yeah, that's my first.
Your first? Oh, so are you comfortable? You're relaxed? You're nervous, are you?
No.
No? Oh, good.
No.
No? All right, good. No. So you're comfortable. Well, you tell us as much as you want about your story. Your story, Donna. Let's hear you.
I don't even know where to start. Started, what, 8-9 years ago with a cancer diagnosis. I don't know. And then living through that, taking care of that person.
It not only
affects the person, it affects the whole family. But I'm sure your listeners know that.
She said 9 years. 9 years of cancer diagnosis?
Well, it's been about that long since the diagnosis and his passing, dealing with all that.
His passing. Let's hear more about this.
He passed 4 years ago.
This is your
four
husband.
4 years ago he passed.
This is your husband. This is your husband, dear.
Yes, my husband, yes.
Your husband. And how long
48 years.
How many?
48
years. Oh my goodness, I had that. I realized 48 years in passing. 48 years of marriage.
So it's like losing your, you know, your left hand.
Your left hand. Okay. So the pain is immense. The pain must be, how long? It never ends. We've all lost someone we love, but head trauma.
Oh no.
Head trauma. There's heart trauma. There's heart trauma. There's spirit trauma. So I guess what we want to do is say we got to be grateful for every moment we have, and that we, no matter what our trauma, if it's from some medical impact or some heartbreak. Let's listen to our caller.
Grief can also cause medical issues, you know.
And her own cancer diagnosis, that's right. So we will talk about that. Donna, do you want to jump right in? I see a hand up on the switchboard, and we can bring on a caller and talk about
it. Bring them on.
You ready?
Let's talk about it.
All right, we're going to bring you on area code 208. Be brought on. Hold on. Let's see. Let's get you on there. Area code 208. You're on air. Hi.
Hi. Oh, this is Kathleen, and you guys were so kind to me last month. I thought I'd briefly call in. How is everyone? How are you, Terry?
Oh, I'm wonderful. Thank you, Kathleen. And we have Donna on the line with us tonight.
Yes. And Donna, how are you tonight?
I'm good, Kathleen. How are you?
I'm still alive.
No, that's always a good start. Yes, it is, always. So what's happening? What's happening tonight? What's going on?
What's happening? Did you say?
Yes.
Wanted to call and thank everyone for their kindness last time, but it's Donna's night, so I'll call another time.
No, Donna's just here to talk with you. She's here to help the conversation from your different perspective. So what is it you want to talk about?
Well, thank you. I had called last month about the isolation and harassment, and I just wanted to ask for input on one thing, Donna. So my biggest problem is eye problems, and I still can't figure out how to get out of Montana, where there's no medicine.
I remember your call. I remember listening to you last month.
Yes, and, I finally found another eye doctor, maybe because of everyone's prayers, and thought she was a good one. She was young and progressive. I thought this was the right one. She gave me the fifth or sixth different diagnosis I've had and did write me a prescription for my eyes, for glasses. But she then went on to, so I'm still have a GoFundMe, and I'm hoping people will share it so I can leave, so I can go to Idaho where there's eye care. And I've got medical problems going on too now from stress, and wouldn't dare go near a doctor here. There aren't any real doctors here. And anyway, I took the eye prescription to Walmart. Actually, never in my life have I gone to Walmart to get glasses, but it's all I can afford now. I'm almost 70. It's all I can afford. So I went to Walmart, and I told her that I cannot wear bifocals. I can't wear bifocals because of brain injury and multiple eye surgeries that my mother had done to my eyes when I was little for no real good reason. And the combination of those things means I can't wear bifocals or prisms. I get very, very sick if I have something like that on my eyes. And so what the doctors have always done for me is simply make two pair, one for far, one for near. No bifocal, single vision, two pair. And that's what I asked for, and I went to Walmart, and they said, well, we can do that, but the doctor has ordered that you have bifocals. No, I can't wear bifocals. I will fall down and pass out and be ill on your carpet and won't be able to function. No bifocals. I have to have single vision glasses.
Right. Okay,
and
Donna.
So, you know, and so they wouldn't do it. Walmart said, this is what, we'll make them, but we have to do what the doctor said. So the woman that was my advocate here, supposedly, a church leader, went with me to talk to the doctor, but oddly, she took her dog into the eye doctor's office, which I thought was really strange, because the appointment wasn't a veterinary appointment, it was an appointment about me.
Okay, so what happened?
What's that?
What happened?
What happened is that I wasn't allowed to see my actual eye doctor. Instead, another very bombastic, arrogant male Montanan, nothing against men, Terry, I like men, but not in Montana. So it's a cartel, of, as I had shared, of these kind of very ignorant, think inside the box, no ability to think outside the box, unaware of brain injuries. They're just like carbon copies. This was another one of them. And he made me sit. He made me sit in the chair, and he said, "You will sit there. You'll shut your mouth. You won't say a word. And I'm going to prove to you, you have to have bifocals."
Well, listen, Kathleen. I'm trying to get an idea of where you are. I have my notes here, but I think I've written something the wrong way. You're in
Montana
or Idaho?
Yeah,
you're
Montana. Trying
Montana.
Desperately, and I'm really at the brink of walking to Idaho, giving up a good job, throwing away everything I own and walking.
Right, and you're trying to get to Indiana?
Kathleen.
Wait, are you trying to get to Indiana, Carlene?
Kathleen?
You're trying to get to Indiana, right?
No, Idaho.
You're trying to get to
Idaho.
Idaho's in there somewhere. Okay, there you are. You're trying to get
to Idaho. So the long story short was he and this woman wound up screaming at me, cursing at me, informing me that I was an impossible and very bad, wicked person. The doctor's holy. He's sacred. He's a doctor. He knows all.
About your bifocals.
Yeah,
so,
insisting on bifocals, which
right.
would make me sick all over the carpet. And I said, if you make me put those on, you better give me a garbage can to throw up in.
Oh,
sorry.
Man. So listen, let me ask you this. Kathleen, let me ask you this. Do you have a traumatic brain injury?
Yep. I told him brain injury. I told him about eye surgeries. They should have been able to see that when they did all the testing. I told him about being born with a hematoma on my brain as well. And that I can't wear bifocals.
So what happened? Did you get your bifocals or not? Or you mean did you some
no,
of this type of lens
no,
rather than bifocals? Separate glasses, I guess?
The two of them yelled and screamed at me, cursed me, used very foul language. I'm surprised the police weren't called. They were just on a rampage of hatred.
May I interject?
So I left the office.
Kathleen, before you finish
please,
the story, before you know, we all have injuries here. We have traumatic issues, so we have to kind of jump in. So Donna wants to jump in and comment on what you said so far.
I was curious as if you could only wear glasses for up close. I mean, why don't you just buy them from the drugstore? That only gives you
single
vision.
Understood. I can't wear readers. They make me violently ill also. And I
okay.
don't need readers. And so what I needed was just two pair of single vision glasses, one set for far, one set for near. That's worked for me for 20 years.
Wait, two pair of single vision.
Single vision, two pair. And I had an ophthalmologist write that prescription years ago, and not every doctor in Idaho was willing to do the same thing, but not here. Because the upshot is that when I went outside, that woman came up to me, screamed at me, said, "You are a liar, wow, wow, wow," pretending to be disabled, grabbed my wrist, shook my arm, and ordered me to shut up. Eucharistic minister from the Catholic Church.
Wait, Kathleen, we want to slow your story down so we don't lose you too much here because we're trying to keep up, all right? We have to digest everything you're saying, and you're going really, really fast. Okay, so I think Donna wants to input something so far. Donna, you have something to come in?
I just, did she file a complaint against these people? I mean,
I'm sorry.
People can't be grabbing
you. Did you file a complaint?
there's no one to file. Well, I don't have money for lawyers, and there are no citizens advocacy groups of any kind in Montana. There's no disability rights. There's no one to file with.
Because there is such a thing as elderly abuse. I mean, I'm not saying you're elderly.
Oh,
I am.
No.
Kathleen, how old are you?
I'm in my 60s, so 20 years away from medical elderly, still working age, late middle age.
You're still young. I thought.
Yeah, really. But the belief system toward me since I've been here is that I am not disabled. I'm just crazy and difficult and old and at the end of life. And
have you seen the doctors who give you some kind of confidence that you're correct? I mean, sometimes we don't always see ourselves. I mean, have you seen a doctor?
What kind of doctor?
A neurological report or psychological report? Maybe some kind of...
Oh, no, I don't have any. I never got very good
care.
This is a result of a car wreck, and it was kind of political. It was
political?
What
do you mean political? What does that mean, political?
Yeah. Political meaning that I was leaving a group farm where people were put when they were homeless, and they knew I was going to report on things. And as I was leaving, some vehicle came up behind me and hit me at 80 miles an hour and put my vehicle through a rock wall, and I got a head injury. That's political. And so,
it sounds more criminal, but how does it relate to politics? I don't see it. Donna, do you see it?
And so I was labeled. So nothing about my story makes sense, but I never lie, and I'm not delusional. I've never made anything up, and I shouldn't even be trying to talk to anyone. I give up. There's no good medical record of it. I was just labeled crazy, and I was blamed for the accident.
Okay, listen, Kathleen. You know what? I'm going to bring someone on the line right now. Someone just reached me through my line here on the switchboard, and I want to bring a different perspective. Well, we want to bring someone who might add to this conversation and give us something to balance.
I just want glasses.
Let's bring her on air, okay? Let's bring her on. Area code 720. This is Dr. Michelle. Michelle, hello.
Hello.
Welcome. Hello.
Terry, I'm here.
Hi.
How are you? Welcome.
We haven't seen you on the air in a long time. Welcome to the show.
Oh, yep. It's been one of those just busy with stuff.
Well, you'll tell us after this call. Have you been listening? Are you following the story? What's happening?
I have not been following the story. I do apologize. I just called in, so I'm not. I'm sorry.
You're right. See, I jumped into. I assume this is you've been listening to the story, and you wanted to comment on Kathleen. Kathleen, you ready? You want to talk to us, or were you just stepping in to say hello?
Hi,
you want to jump in?
Hello.
You don't want to jump into the conversation and find out what your opinion is?
I do, actually. I will jump in, and I will say this without knowing too much about what's going on, that everything is kind of temporary. You know, we're in these different states and hills and valleys and ups and downs, and if we just stay still for a second, sometimes we can find the way to go that's going to shift our whole perspective on things, you know. It's kind of like you can't see the forest for the trees. Is that making any sense about what we're talking about? Does that fit
in
or not really?
I think it's applicable to life in general. And since we all go through experiences, some extreme, like tonight. In fact, it's perfect because tonight we're talking about trauma not just being from some outer force hitting and impacting the brain or the skull. And it's someone who can lose a heart, or your heart can break just this much and make it a tragedy. Donna's on the line with us, and her trauma is not. Donna, hello, this is Michelle. Michelle has been a co-host with us for a while.
Hi, Michelle. Yeah, I've heard Michelle before, yes.
Hi.
Thanks, Donna. It's so great to meet you tonight.
I'll go ahead and get off. Thank you for your time. I just was hoping someone might know how I can find an eye doctor who would take the
bifocal out of the prescription so I can have glasses I can see out of. I can't see out of the ones I currently have because my eyes are at a retinal occlusion.
And this is Kathleen. She's telling us about her eye trauma that she's moving from Montana to Idaho, trying to get her prescription ready.
Macular degeneration. And so my old prescription's no good. And I'm wearing glasses that I can't see out of. And I just wanted... And I guess it's really not temporary. This has been trauma that's escalated and gone on and grown for four years, ever since I entered this. Why? Because I've been a
Macular. I said right. That's correct. Macular degeneration does not improve. And
so,
that's
not the trauma. The trauma is that everything I try to accomplish or the help I try to get here, because of being brain injured in a very box-thinking, discompassionate, cold, non-compassionate state filled with people who are not intellectually acute and don't want to help others. And I'm not from this state, and all I'm trying to do is get someone to help me go to Idaho. You know, GoFundMe on, but it's not going anywhere, and I give up. I'm ready to quit because I can't see out of my current glasses. I have a job. Actually, I run a book department, ironically, helping people find books.
Right.
But it's really hard for me to do my job because I can't see out of my glasses. When I went to the eye doctor, this is the ninth one in the state of Montana or Murdertana or Moontana. It's a hell. Never come here. Don't ever come here. It's like a fourth world or fifth world in the way that kind of sixth or seventh world maybe in the way that they operate.
Wow.
I've lived all over the world. I'm a veteran. I've lived all over the world.
Right.
And
well, Kathleen, listen.
I've never seen anything like this, to be assaulted by the person who was supposed to be helping me and told that I'm lying and I'm sorry.
We got a question for you. They're trying to understand your story. You're going kind of fast for us. Can you let us kind of get a better view of what you're saying? What is it that you feel you need help with tonight?
Wishing is that people would even contribute $5 or something to my GoFundMe so I could get out of this state and go back to my home state of Idaho, where I never had any of these problems.
Right, right. Well, your story is compelling,
so
I'm sure.
I'm just desperate. I will never be able to see.
Well, Michelle, Donna, do you guys have any ideas for
there was just something that clicked about her conversation from last month. Did she say she was a Native American or part Native American?
Do you remember?
And I do not have a tribal membership legally, so there's no help there.
Oh,
yeah.
Ever since COVID, it seems like everyone thinks this way, that quit thinking in a box. I've never thought in a box in my life. I've been a problem solver. I used to be an activist. I developed and led a coalition on behalf of disabled transit riders in Alaska years ago. I founded a community garden. I don't know how to think in a box. But when I ask for help, everyone wants to say, well, you're Native. No, that has nothing to do with anything. It has to do with racism toward me.
No, I was just asking you if you could get from the Native.
There's no help available.
There are rules to how.
I don't belong to a tribe. I'm not a tribal member. There's no help available.
Let me ask you, is there a reason that you aren't? Why aren't you?
Because my father was Canadian Native, and I wasn't raised by him, and I didn't get his paperwork.
So
it's like kind of rules and
regulations.
he wasn't an American First Nations person. I'm in the United States. He was Canadian.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I could not have belonged to his tribe or organization unless I had been able to live with him and be raised by him and have his paperwork.
You're in your 60s now.
In America, I'm not a member of a United States tribe.
So I want to ask one question about this getting to Idaho. What is the draw?
That's my home state.
Okay, and the reason why you're not in your home state, what's going on with you not being there? How did you...
What happened is that during COVID, many housing shut down, and many people were displaced, including my apartment complex in Idaho. And at the same time, I got a Section 8 voucher, but there were but the Idaho housing agencies were not functioning during COVID. And I was given the offer of an apartment in Missoula, Montana, through Montana Housing. And I couldn't be homeless during COVID. That would have been insane. So I had to take the apartment. I've been stuck in Montana for 4 years. The longer I lived here, the worse that things get. It's an enormous place geographically with a very small population base who are almost all related to one another. It's very cliquish, very internecine, very elite, very interrelated, very... it's kind of like one thing. And so
you're just one state over. You're just one state over by Idaho. You don't have no friends.
Right. And if I had money, if I had family, if I had about $4,000 in a GoFundMe, I could move. I don't have that. I live on very, very little money. And so I don't have I'm not financially solvent. I'm in my late 60s and alone, not financially solvent. A friend of mine had started a GoFundMe, and I posted it with this group last month, and I posted it everywhere, but no one's donated, which is weird. It's well written. It explains the situation. It asked for help for me to find refuge in my home state and help me get there. No help.
And do you have any other family that's around? Have you?
He died 35 years ago. The last one died, and I never got to really know my dad, so I didn't really know his family. I've been alone. Never got to get married, and therefore I never had children because I wouldn't have had children out of wedlock. And so,
what happened to your head? How'd you get your head injury? Kathleen, I'm curious. How did you get your head injury?
Old-fashioned person. I just would not have chosen to be in a relationship and have children if I wasn't married.
Kathleen, you're really going kind of fast, Kathleen. Hold on 1 second. Let me ask you a question. How did you get your head injury?
I'm sorry?
How did you get your head injury? What happened?
That was when I was leaving this cult group farm that was run by the state of Washington. I had gone there because I was homeless in the winter. And...
I didn't hear what you said. Can you say that again?
It was a work farm. It was
let's slow you down. Kathleen, hello.
Yeah, a bad place.
Kathleen, I didn't hear what you said. You got to slow it down for me. All right? I want to take a note of what you said. Where were you?
In Washington State, on a Washington State government-run work farm for the indigent.
Wait, Washington State Park?
No,
the state of Washington.
Like a work farm.
It was a government,
work farm.
A work farm.
Government.
I didn't
work
know that.
Farm.
I thought it was a farm, like where you worked and had an apartment. And no, it wasn't workers on organic farms. It was a evangelical Christian farm run by the state.
Evangelical. Slow down for me in our audience. I'm sure most of my audience is saying, man, would she slow down, please?
Anyway,
I'm having trouble keeping up with you.
Just slow down
so we can hear what you're saying, okay? We should be able to communicate with us, right, so we understand what you're saying, right? So if you want us to understand what you're saying, we have to be able to hear what you're saying. And we can't hear you if you keep going so fast. Can you slow it down just a little bit so we hear what you're saying? Is that okay? So you said it was an evangelical.
Evangelical, born again.
Uh-huh.
Work farm. Right.
Work farm. What does that mean?
It meant that people lived there, were not paid for their work, slept on the floor. We were forced to sit through church services, not allowed to leave, 18-hour work days, and
Washington State. Government work farm. Evangelical.
Well, it was a farm for people who were homeless, and it was funded
homeless.
By the state.
Wait, homeless people.
And run by the churches.
Homeless people. Run by where? Who? The city?
Churches. Born-again
churches. The churches. You said churches?
Born-again churches, yeah.
Born-again churches.
So were
this
you part
like
of
slavery.
That's
I mean,
how
this
you went
sound
there?
Like punishment. Were they in jail? How were they able to do that? Is this something that was run by the city or a paid
know.
Justice system?
I don't know. I'll shut up. I know you think I'm nuts. I live with this. This is all real. I have documentation of it. I have pictures. And I fled. I got in my broke van in the winter and drove down a winter road and fled from there while fleeing.
Wait, were you one of the people held? Are you saying that you were one of the people held in this church evangelical work farm?
I was leaving. I was running away.
Were you one of these people? One of these people
no,
paid,
I never,
not
I don't
paid
believe
and
in
not allowed to leave?
That religion, no. I was working 18 hours without pay and was told to give my food stamps to the farm to feed others. And I slept on the floor at night under a dining room table on a foam mattress.
How many of the people in the same room with you?
There were many felons living there, mostly male. They just
did you
wandered
say felons?
Around the house.
Did you say felons?
Felons.
Oh,
like
felons.
Criminals,
in,
people with a record.
Oh, felons. Felons.
Yeah.
Sex offenders, you know.
And there are many male.
Male.
Like
many male.
Like 20?
Yeah.
20, like 20 men? 30 men?
I don't know. I was almost the only woman there, except
you
for the
only woman. And this is how many, many males. You're not sure about their ages,
well,
but they were younger?
Early release, felons, drug offenders, things like that.
And they were,
I just went there because I was told by a church that it was a nice farm and I would have a cabin to live in of my own and work a few hours, and that it was a wonderful, happy place.
So
and
you were basically you were misled to believe this
was
somewhere that would turn, get their life
well,
kind of turned around?
Lied to. And
so,
when I
yeah.
realized what it was, I tried to leave. But then a vehicle came up behind me doing 80 miles an hour, and that was the car wreck. And that head injury, I almost died. That was, anyway, that's 16 years ago.
Wow. Yeah,
16 years ago, the farm.
On my own, without therapy, without an advocate, without medical care, with nothing, just kept going. And I was working in Idaho. I was fine. I was doing okay. Then COVID occurred. So then that was the end of work. The apartment was sold and shut down, along with several apartments in that town. That happened. The government, you know, big corporate agencies sold to a corporate company out of the East Coast. They sold the locals to get out. And that left me with nowhere to go again.
You've had quite a very rough time of it, and
I've had 4 years of unrelenting trauma, and the worst part of that is that my eyes went bad literally overnight, about last January, overnight, and then I saw 9 eye doctors. They provided me with 5 or 6 different and conflicting diagnoses. the most recent diagnosis is now mild macular degeneration, not glaucoma, not cataracts, not retinal occlusion, like all the other doctors said. Yes,
well,
whenever I go to the doctors, always say, now you've been a problem for every doctor in Montana, so why should we treat you well? I mean, that's what they start out with.
Okay, Kathleen, I'm sorry. I got to slow you down again because I'm curious because you said I'm looking for my notes here and I maybe didn't record it fast enough, but you were telling us about how you had a trauma. What was your injury again?
Traumatic brain injury when I was hit from behind, my head flew into the window and smashed.
You were sitting at a red light? You were sitting at a red light?
No, I was actually entering a driveway and I wasn't even on the road.
You're entering your driveway to your house?
No. It was winter and I had to flee the farm and I happened to run into an old friend from 20 years ago who said, I have a friend who can repair the heater in your van and then you can come and park it at our house and, you know, eat with us and you'll have a heater in your van. You'll be okay. And here's the directions to the farm where this man lives who will fix your heater. And I drove to it. I crossed the highway. I was entering his driveway, and the rear end of my van was sticking out. Just the last third of it was still sticking out on the street. But it was a country road. There was no traffic coming. And I heard a very loud horn and felt an unbelievably horrific blow to the back of the van, and it was so hard that the van went rolling through the man's farm and through a rock wall.
Wow. And you were in that van.
I was in that van. And it turned out later that anyone that tried to leave the farm, bad things happened. So this was very common.
All right, Kathleen, I'm curious now. I'm curious. This sounds like something more than
religious. No, this is a true story. I was trying to write a book about it, a novel about it.
I was
going to
say it sounds like a movie
slave.
In so many parts.
This sounds like slavery. I mean, if you're not allowed to leave, you're held there against your will.
It was a slave farm. It was a slavery farm. It's what it was.
This sounds serious. I mean, how long? What was the year on this? How long ago are you talking? I mean, I forget what you said.
16 years ago?
16?
So it wasn't that long ago.
16 years ago? That's like a long time ago. The police ever get involved with this kind of investigation?
It turns out that the person that hit me was related to the police chief, and he was never charged.
Oh.
So there were charges then? There was some kind of at least investigation?
No. I was charged for being in the way.
You're charged for being in the way. Is that a legal thing? What does that mean?
You're in the driveway. That's not in the way.
Right.
Yeah, how are you in the way?
I was charged with being at fault in the accident.
You said, I'm sorry, what did you say? Wait, Kathleen, you got to slow it down.
Political.
I'm sorry, what did you say? We didn't hear what you said. Say it again.
Political. It was political.
It was political. That's where I think we lose you. What do you mean by political? What happened politically?
Meaning that the players involved were all connected to one another. State
the
workers,
players,
churches,
players.
Police. Okay. You know. So the police did not charge the person that hit me. They charged me for being in the way and obstructing the roadway.
Wow, that's a very unfortunate turn of events. To say that.
Donna, are you getting Are you getting any questions about this? I mean, does it sound coherent to you? Or?
People don't understand. And so now, I used to be a federal employee before that, state and federal jobs. I had wound up homeless after domestic abuse. I wasn't married. It was just a bad relationship with a bad man. And that led me to be homeless. That's why I was living in a van. But before that, I spent my life as a successful state and federal employee, AmeriCorps volunteer, Catholic missionary. I was in the military for several years, serving, giving. And then at 55, early 50s, 15 years ago, this occurred. what that did is just pretty much ruined my life. I could never get a good
job. May I ask you a question?
Uh-huh.
When you were younger, where did you grow up and go
in
to
Washington
school? What was
the state? Washington
so you,
State.
So that
yeah.
was your, that was your, okay. So, and that's where,
and,
did you ever
and,
attend some college or was it just training to get
yeah,
to
I'm a college
the,
graduate. Yeah, I'm a college
mm-hmm.
graduate. I'm an honorably discharged veteran. I wasn't in
oh.
very many years because of health issues,
so,
but I'm honorably discharged Air Force veteran. I was went to college and I worked all my life and supported myself.
Cool.
And I
so that means you should have honorably discharged. You should definitely rate some
don't
type
get,
of.
No, I'm not. See, this is what happens. Quick answers.
Oh.
But do you think I haven't tried to get benefits from the VA for the last 35 years? I sure have.
That was my next question for you. Yeah, have you gone through the VA? What was
not
your experience?
A lot
what
of
happened?
People don't. That's
why,
you know
what
why
happened with your
do you know why there are homeless veterans on the street? Do you know why there are homeless veterans
you,
on the street?
Tell us what you
it's
think. What is
because
it?
They do, not everybody gets VA benefits.
Why didn't you? Tell us what happened. Do you want to share with us what happened? Why were you denied benefits? How long were you in the Air Force?
I don't
you said
think
Air
that,
Force, right?
That is not a part of it. It's that
did you
I
say Air Force?
Enough years.
Kathleen, did you say Air Force?
And
you
so
Air Force.
I had medical issues that they said were just
yeah.
pre-existing, and so
how many
I
years
don't get benefits.
How many years
just
were you?
About five.
You were 5 years?
I don't get benefits.
Okay, where did you serve?
It really
what did
you sounds do? Like you wait some benefits.
I think you just are all
know.
Laughing at me and pointing. This is what I get in Montana. People just question me, judge me, question everything I say.
When did you, when were you discharged?
Oh,
where was your last?
This is pointless. I'm probably going to get in trouble with the police or something now. For
police? I'm just
sort of
curious.
I'm making up a story. I'm not making up a story.
I love, all I want is compassion and support,
and all I'm getting is judged and questioned.
No, we're not judging. We're trying to understand your story and share it with our listeners so that we understand you, who you are and what
the
your story is.
The story that's so important is to say that people with head injuries don't get fair medical care.
Have you talked with
that's
maybe your...
Why
well, you know what?
Your,
no one gets fair medical care. No one.
No,
we don't have a
that's not
a country
true.
That,
there
that
people,
has things.
I know doctors' wives, lawyers' wives, politicians' wives get excellent medical care.
Listen, it's not fair. If it
well,
was
isn't
the
there,
world was
there?
Fair, there wouldn't be homelessness, hunger. Everyone would have kind of an equal playing field, and we would all. It would all be even.
Not to interrupt this.
That's a whole other social issue that we're
not
really
and you know what?
Discuss here.
Michelle and Kathleen, you know what?
And it's not
put
a
in right here.
Deal.
And let me tell you.
It's
one of the worst
game.
Things I think is people who drive in the fast lane too. Because if you drive in the fast lane, the far left lane on the freeway, that's more of a danger than speed. Speed isn't what causes accidents so much as road hazards. People who drive in the passing lane and refuse to get out of the way. So the person driving fast has to then change lanes, and then it's the lane changing going in and out around the person who's not courteous enough or smart enough or whatever it requires to get out of that lane, out of the way, so that the person behind you going much faster doesn't have to change lanes
well,
and create
an
accident.
Well, there wasn't any traffic on the road. When
there
I
wasn't?
Crossed
what do you
the
mean?
Highway,
what do you mean?
No, there was no... When I turned left... To enter the driveway, it was a country road on a sunny day, a straight country road that you could see 2 or 3 miles either way. And as I made the turn, I saw no traffic coming. I was not in anyone's way.
So how did the accident happen? I mean, what happened? Was it a singular vehicle accident?
What happened is that somebody... For whatever reason, hit me doing about 80 miles an hour and shoved my vehicle through a farm field and through a brick wall.
Wait, slow down. You're going a little fast. Slow down. Wait. So you were sitting. Your car was.
I was in the driveway. I don't even care about this.
Well, I'm curious. We want to see it.
I had a car wreck.
We're on radio.
I guess they
really
should have said I was a drunk and I was drinking. And no, that's not the truth. The truth is
I was a victim
of a car wreck.
Kathleen, listen, all I'm trying to do is let us see you, because we're in the radio. Think about it. It's not TV or video. We can't see it. So we have to imagine it.
Well, I guess I'm just going to die in Great Falls. I'm going to die in some kind of facility blind because nobody's ever going to help me.
So you're in the driveway, and you were hit 80 miles an hour from someone from behind.
It doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, we're trying to visualize what happened to you.
I have a head injury.
It's like a miracle that you survived. You're amazing to be alive, don't you think? Every day that you wake up, don't you look at the sky and say, my God, this is amazing, right? I think I understand. That's a hard thing, 80 miles an hour. Is that what you said, or did I not hear you right? Is that what you said? 80 miles an hour?
That's
your miracle.
I think we've lost her.
Hello?
I think we've lost her. But, yeah, that's an amazing amount
of
force.
She left the phone.
80?
She left the line. 80 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Think about it. That's a miracle. To be alive? Think about that. So,
well, already it's a miracle that any of us are here in the first place.
Every day we wake up. Because of us not being born,
if you think of that.
Right. You know what? Michelle, you took it back to the root. You're right. The fact that you made it. You know how many times you could have been, so many ways to have been lost, right? I mean,
so many ways not to even have been born.
Right. Because that release from the male, if you will, the semen that creates the egg, that fertilizes the egg.
Thousands of seeds and thousands of eggs.
Those eggs don't always end up where they're supposed to. A lot of those eggs are discharged throughout the night from dreams, involuntarily, from just a dream.
Yeah. Those are the
seeds.
So
you lose. Your odds of being connected to an egg are pretty dismal. And then for that egg, even if it is fertilized, to make it through to fruition, to be born, right?
Right.
Right? So your chances are reduced so many times.
I think we were just breaking somewhere when she gave up with us, but it's, very interesting that this thing happened. What I'm seeing is a pattern that she was homeless and kind of living on the fringes the whole time. You see, there was a thread there, because that's why I asked her, where were you living? Where did you grow up? I think she got frustrated that we were trying to get too much history.
Too invasive.
She was really interested in getting the story out and trying to fundraise. But the point is, people aren't really going to support something where they don't know the backstory.
The story, exactly. And so I was trying to understand what she meant and what she was going through, so we could also see it, because a lot of times we can relate to stories if we just hear them. All right.
So the story starts well before the accident. It appears, from what I gather,
it sounds
and what
criminal,
your notes
almost.
Are saying there.
80 yeah, miles an
was
hour.
Living, 80. That's the end. That's kind of the middle.
It's miraculous.
That's what put her on a different trajectory.
Yeah,
but
it seems as though
her trajectory wasn't, that she started in a Bend, Washington State, and ended up working in some type of a very marginally legal. It didn't really sound like a legal job. I don't think she got a W-2 from working 18 hours a day, sleeping on the floor.
Yeah.
So how does a person get to that point is my question.
So she's
been to high school. She's been to college. She's got a degree. She's been in the military. And I don't know any person that's honorably discharged that doesn't rate some kind of health care. You've been in the military. And people don't get the care that they need for various reasons, mental health issues, illness, They don't know. They don't know where to go. They're ashamed or embarrassed to ask for help. So there are a lot of different things around getting the help that you need. I had a relative who basically died. He had some mental illness, and he basically died a pauper's death. But he had not collected his Social Security for 10, 15 years. He hadn't put in for the sickness through the military. He didn't get any of the benefits.
Now, who is this? This is your uncle, Michelle. So you're going to kind of remind us of Kara right now, Kathleen right now.
Oh.
Yeah, slow down. Now, you said this is your uncle?
A relative, I will say.
A relative. That's smart. Okay, yeah, you're right. We're in archives. So Robin Hetron with Terry Smith there, Brain Injury Radio Network. We are archived. That's right, Michelle. Remember that. We are. So everything you say will be recorded for everyone to remember.
Yeah.
So listen, Michelle. Your relative was a veteran, and he was going through, what was it,
He was going through just some mental stress.
Mental stress. We're going to take a break right there because I want to go to this. I'm making a note. I'm sure this is in your heart, right? You know this story. Because I want to get back before you forget.
I know the story by heart. I can pick up.
All right, well, you can come back. We're going to come back to that. I'm making a note right here. Michelle, a relative with veteran mental issues. How's that? Is that too direct?
Yeah.
I guess we'll go back. That's a good marking point, okay? Because I heard something that
should be reported.
We'll do it. She hung up. Kathleen hung up before we could get back to the question. I so wanted for her to give us a little bit more information on, because it sounded illegal. I mean, an evangelical work farm. I guess I could Google here. I mean, it doesn't sound legal outside of imprisonment by the state or federal government. How do you imprison someone? She said against. I write things down because you don't remember things if you don't write it down. Probably forgotten. So it says not paid, not allowed to leave. They're not paid. And they're not allowed to leave. That sounds like imprisonment.
Right. That's not.
That doesn't sound legal.
It does not sound, you know, indentured servitude. It sounds like people trafficking or something that's not really.
That doesn't sound right? And I didn't get the number on the switchboard. I don't know if I didn't get the number. I shouldn't. I didn't think. It was just occurring now. I should have written down the number when I saw this flag pop up when she said that. I wonder if anybody else heard that. Donna, did you hear anything like weird when she said they're not paid and they're not allowed to leave?
I just was wondering from my perspective why she was like not contacting a church or something. Well, usually a church will help.
Well, it did sound like this group where she was, this cultish, weird employment venture, sounded like it had a church or religious aspect to it.
Well, she said evangelical. That puts it in a nutshell. Evangelical. That's pretty consistent.
Right, that's what it was.
There's no ambiguity in that whatsoever. It's evangelical. How many, are there different versions of evangelical? I don't know.
I'll
Google.
Evangelical
has
religious connotation.
Did I say it wrong? Evangelical? What kind of
evangelical
connotation?
Evangelical.
I'm going to type in evangelical work farm.
It's possible that she has. See, we didn't get to ask all the questions because she
hung
was
up,
getting
right?
Frustrated.
She said,
yeah.
She said that she's called back. I don't remember her call. I have to go to my notes. I can get my notes and find them from her call. Oh, my God, Jessica, so much stuff on it. Jessica's not normally like this, but I tried to find everything in it. Oh, my gosh. Does anybody remember that? Anybody do that episode? Remember her call? Anybody remember her call? Does anybody remember her call? And she said that this wasn't her first call, that she called and talked to us.
She called last month. I listened to the show last month, and she called in.
You remember the story?
I think somebody set up a GoFundMe for her.
Listen, it does sound like I'm going to just surmise and take a leap and say I could be wrong, but her experience with the evangelical work farm, as she called it herself,
may have given her some reluctance to go to the clergy or any type of organized religion. So she may, we don't know, but I'm just thinking, if I were in that position, in her shoes, where I had been in a job or
slave-like condition. You mean slave-like condition?
Yes. I got away, that I might not go to a church for the reason maybe they won't believe me. Why
did
I get
a different church? You mean outside of the church you're already in?
Right.
You're being held by a particular people, the evangelical.
Yeah,
so you mean go to a different church, like a Buddhist? Not Buddhist, but Hindu or Muslim
any other organized religion.
Judaism.
I'm thinking
something.
There's a chance, and I could be wrong, but there's a chance that this religious cult, sect, business venture that she was involved with so heavily may have tainted her ability to see any good in another type of charity thing. She was very skeptical of the doctor.
All right,
she was
Michelle,
skeptical of...
I think you brought that. You're so good at that. You've always been good at that. We miss you monthly, but you somehow understand life happens. You're so busy. You're a busy woman. We're so happy to have you back with us. We are happy to have you back with us and join us tonight. And my question, I think, is a little deeper, though. It goes back to what happened with religion. I think that people who get into that need it, and I can go far with it. I can take it so far, and I'm maybe so bold as to say it out loud. But think about it: when we were children, Santa Claus was the thing that
real?
Kept us in line, or whatever your religion. Yeah. Religions have different people who give you great things for being good or whatever. But and that controlled us. Remember, for example, being. Doing something bad, doing wrong, like playing with toys I shouldn't have played with, and then oh my goodness, Santa Claus finds out, so I went and straightened him up. So that I remember doing something incorrectly because of my fear of Santa Claus not approving, and it's the same thing. You grow up and realize, oh my goodness, Santa Claus is not real. Not saying that religion is divisive, but it is. But at the same token, I think religion is something that man made. Why would a great divine person need that to communicate? And there is obviously something. You look into the sky, you see it. You're alive. You feel it. We speak.
Well,
we are it.
We're
here.
That's right.
I mean, so why does the deeper question is, why does religion allow us to do so many things, so many tainted things, so many just things that are, I mean, I think if you don't know the difference between right and wrong, it's not religion that you lack. It's morale, something deep in your heart, something you're born, it's something inherent. So either you're born with it or you're not. I think religion gives us something like Santa gave us. I think it gives us something to hold on to and believe. Because Santa's going to be so good when we die. They build buildings on our land and tell us our heaven is in the sky. They build their heavenly dreams right here on heaven, in heaven. And then tell us that our heaven is out there in the sky when we die. Right now is the heaven. We're in it. We're floating in the sky right now. I don't understand how we get so caught in this religion thing, all these divisions, all these things that divide us, the land, the continent, all those land drawn in the sand lawn drawn lines are just that, lines drawn in the sand. By man. Man made the land's religions and names and cultures and
land.
Divisions
okay.
And languages and all the things that make us sad and fight each other.
Listen,
and all
I,
the weapons
I
that dream about
you.
Killing each other and could be detonated by pulling of triggers because some madman says, hey, let's do it. And then it's gone. Everything. So my question becomes deeper. It becomes something more of a human existence. A curiosity of human nature, sociology, if you will, it becomes something to the effect of, can it change? If we can take all of our weapons, nuclear, all the things that we use in defense of fighting each other, converting, is it possible? Or am I gone too mad to wonder, can that be discovered and something of research and development, those weapons of destruction turned into something of actual wonder, like finding something.
I think you've got a hodgepodge of gobbledygook that you just
No, listen, it goes deeper. It goes deeper because it's functional at the same time. We have so many changing elements right now.
Slow down.
I have it here for you. I have it here for you right now. I have it. I saved it on a picture, and I thought it was perfect. Well, let me open it for you. I need it in my camera right here. It was where is it? Man against. Listen, this is this man. Character versus self. Character versus technology. Character versus nature. And character versus nature part. There's seven. There's seven. But number three, character versus nature. This is where it becomes instrumental and functional. The weather changes, the hurricanes, all the things that are happening in nature, the hurricanes, the earthquakes, all the things that are could potentially, like the dinosaur died because of some massive sudden change. All the weapons we've built for destruction could be used to fight off man against, what? Number three, nature. Because nature can be phenomenal. We've seen it. We've seen it. We've seen the tsunamis come in and wipe everything out instantly, just pow. Well, not instantly. I mean, the water can only travel so fast.
So this is TBI Radio. I think you've gone down a couple of, open up a can of worms
curiosity.
Here.
Curiosity has, yeah, because you know what? Thinking
so to,
outside of the box is dangerous. You're right. It is.
Need
and
to rein
TBI,
it back.
What?
So we need to wind it back up to the issue at hand.
That's
and maybe just kind of rein it into.
Well, I guess my question is a little, it's kind of deep, but I mean, don't you think the world has had a TBI? I mean, think about it. The world used to, all the earth used to be one connected, and then the continental shifts and the land separating and then the cultures developing and all that. I guess my question goes back. Thank you, Michelle, for reeling me back in. I could take it out there sometimes. But my question remains, is it possible or is that delusional to think that man could one day, I mean, think about it. Time changes, man. I mean, so we know that we've proven through time that we can change our societal belief, our cultural belief, our behavior, our treatment of each other as human beings. But is it possible one day that we might not fight each other in the same sandbox? We're flying through space on the same planet, the same balls, flying, soaring through space. So is it inconceivable that one day we might grow, we might manifest, we might grow enough so that we one day fight nature when it is eroding our planet, when hurricanes come so fiercely that shorelands are being washed away like it's happening in the west coast of the United States. I mean, it's happening all over the planet.
The answer is no.
So you think it's forever turmoil? You think it's ever man fighting man, man against man? That's one of the other ones, man against man.
The answer is no. The answer
are you saying there's no redemption? Man is doomed to fail?
No, I'm not saying that either. I'm saying that man has created things as humans. We're trying to understand the world where we live, our planet, and we create things to make sense of what we see, touch, and feel, what assaults our senses. We're making sense of it. So you mentioned continents and drawing lines and whatever and measurements and time, how far is an acre, how long is an acre, how big is an acre, how long is a mile, how much time is a minute. These things help us to organize our lives and days and have some type of universal understanding of maybe what's going on. And hey, it's comforting to know that 60 seconds is a minute and 60 minutes makes an hour and 24 hours makes a day. And we can all kind of move along with that, except for leap year and all these other things. But for the most part, we know what's going on because of these things that we've created. So, and back to TBI, when you've got some kind of a brain injury or an accident that throws you off and maybe your senses are not what they used to be, your equilibrium, your time understanding, your language, your ability to move your body in relationship to the world that you live, then, you know, that's something that we're here today to talk about. We're not going to solve all the problems.
Well, I'm just wondering, though. So you're saying the physical world, we must find a way to hold on to and grasp the physical reality as we perceive it and not go beyond what we feel is possible, because possible is inattainable, unobtainable. Is it Pollyannic? Does it become Pollyannic if you believe that maybe one day the weapons of destruction can be converted to something of discovery and exploration?
It's conceivable. It can happen. Baby.
So what happened? That's my question. How do we do that? How do we make that transition? That's
a
big question. I know. That's right. If somebody knew, I think that's my point, Michelle. I think that's it. Donna, do you have anything that thinks on this? I'm just curious. Is it possible? Am I a dreamer? Who is that? Mark Lennon? Paul Lennon? Oh, my goodness. John Lennon. Thank you, Michelle. John Lennon. See? He wasn't the only one who saw it. We saw it too, John Lennon. And right? And is it possible? Am I crazy, or are we all TBI patients and just no longer relevant because our dreams are inconceivable? Our dreams are too far fetched. Our dreams are so, man, it's too stupid. Man is too stupid. He's smart enough to build all kinds of spaceships and go into outer space, but he's too stupid to figure out a way to coincide logic with co-production and co-reality and co-sharing of a place we call Earth. I don't understand why it is inconceivable that man might convert his weapons of destruction into something of exploration and discovery if he's so inclined. Like, we all say that we're going to remember 9/11. Every year it gets longer and longer since it happened. It gets smaller and smaller in our reference. Certainly our celebration.
Dreams are dreams.
We know that it's not as abundant as it was right after it happened. We all remember what we were doing the moment we heard, oh, my God, it's turning your TV. I don't care how brain damaged you were. If you were alive then and of age to be alive doing something, and you can remember what you were doing when you heard 9/11 happened. Yeah, both of you remember. Both of you can tell me exactly what you were doing when you found out it happened.
I will say this.
What were you doing when it happened? Mm-hmm. Who remembers what they were doing? Who remembers? Anybody remember? Both of you
oh,
do.
I remember. Of course you remember.
Something that impactful you can't forget. It's inconceivable that you would forget that, no matter how brain damaged you are. So my question is, I don't think it's inconceivable. I think it's more or less, who's going to figure it out? Who has the mind to figure it out? I think in our new generation, especially with AI joining us, one day, rather than program AI to defeat us and destroy us, like the dinosaur died, why not direct it to somehow figure out how to convert weapons of destruction into something that might explore the universe and discover?
That's a different. Dinosaurs and weapons are different.
Oh, come on. Extinction is extinction. So you're saying one extinction is not as profound as the other? That if you die from how the dinosaurs die, something from space colliding with the Earth, compared to nuclear or
as
destruction,
long as there are
extinction
people,
is extinction. If you're gone, you're gone. So I don't understand that. It's simply a matter of how the execution is executed. Isn't that kind of too, what is the word when you say it's the word?
I think
you
just
like execution is executed. It's what?
I said, I think you're listening to yourself talk.
No,
there's,
I think if you listen
different
to the topic is relevant to everyone who is alive on this planet. I don't think it's about listening to oneself talk as much as the issue at hand has been addressed. How do we stimulate talk about changing our direction? I mean, is it so drastic of a thing to ask that we live in harmony and peace and not worrying about atomic bombs going off because AI has suddenly taken us somewhere? The world is a head injury. How is that off topic if we're living in a world with brain trauma? Obviously, something in our world has gone awry. Something is not right. Something is askew in this world that
I
we live in. If we
that.
Want to fight each other to the point of dying of a nuclear holocaust, what kind of crazy world is that? We know it's happening. So, I mean, the possibility exists. Why we have it for that purpose? Why can't that be for some kind of machinery that teaches us what's at the bottom of the ocean, or the nth degree of any cell, or something atomic that might take us into something discovery that we haven't even dreamed yet, because we don't know that it exists, because we've been too busy fighting each other. I don't think it's Pollyannic. I think it's hopeful. I think it's if we direct the minds of our children that way, some child in the future might be born that way and somehow guide us that way. Everybody talks in different religions, say the same thing. They want a deliverer. Some haven't had it. Some have it, had it, and some believe they are having it. It's so many different ones. We've been so divided. Isn't that the thing, division? Keep everybody divided so much.
It's free will.
What is it?
I think it's all about free will of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know.
And as long as there are two people that don't agree and then don't agree on how to come to a compromise or let each other live with disagreement, then there will be someone wanting what the other person has and someone wanting to do harm to the other person. Until we can get to a point where we are okay with somebody being different, which obviously everybody is different. We are not all the same person. So until we get to a point that K is being different and allow others to be different, we will have some conflicts. And there's other things going on, but I think that's just a simple basis. And it's not just religious differences and beliefs or things like that, but I don't think making weapons or changing some factory that makes weapons into making homes is going to be the answer. It's a mindset. So as long as people recognize differences and are able to accept or allow others, have the grace to be different and be themselves and allow others that grace, then, yeah, we're going to get some hurt feelings and you're going to be upset. I'm going to be upset. But it's what do we do about it? Do we annihilate one another? And I think, is that kind of what you're saying, Terry?
I think you just touched on it. You broke it down to the basic element. How do we change the human nature, the human need to coexist in our trained ways of doing that? How do we transition that and learn toleration if necessary, and at least learning that we can learn more from each other than if we destroy some of us? The more we learn from the whole, the smaller the wound in the whole contribution possibility. We grow into divided communities, divided cultural classes and economic differences and political divisions and so many divisions and divisions and divisions, that unless we learn to interact with each other in a human, civilized way, the question then is, how do we start that transition? What do we do to bend the direction of time, if you will, stop repeating history and start rewriting direction and changing the direction, shifting the goal of possibilities and not saying, no, that's unrealistic, that's improbable, it's unlikely. Look at the history of man. Man's history is writable. History is about what we read, about what we experience from discovery, and discovery is altered by people who discover it. So we don't know. All we know is what we have right now, and that is the direction that doesn't look most hopeful. If crazy people get touches to things that could blow the entire planet to the world. So why don't we ride through this, Bishop, with hope that one day there might be a mind bright enough to lead us from direction quo, status quo, to something of inconceivable dreams coming true, and that is finding a way to weaponize to discovery and exploration, the exploration and then discovery. You have to explore and then find discovery. Right now, we're just aiming each other, pointing guns at kids in the playground. Think about it. The civilization at large, in bigger picture, we're like kids in a playground shooting each other. What the hell?
I don't know about all that.
You know, it is that.
I don't know.
The planet right now. Look at the planet. I'm looking at the big map in my office right now, and they're looking at all the continents. And on each continent, there's a government, there's a military, and there's a fight, there's a war. We're like big kids in a playground, just kicking sand around.
I don't know about all
so,
that.
No, I'm looking at it right here. We can see it. When you look at it from afar, you can see the planet fighting each other like a bunch of kids on a playground. And they've been taught something so much. They believe they should continue doing it, and that it's inconceivable that they can't continue doing it, because if they stop, the world would change, and that can't happen because that's inconceivable. But why? Why do they believe that so fervently? Why is it so printed and branded in their brains that there can be no other way, if they're not stimulated to maybe think that there possibly could be a way, that if one day the right mind the right minds, plural, happened, that all the things that we dream is impossible could one day possibly actually happen. Why is that so inconceivable? Is that too much of a dream that
could
possibly one day happen?
Before you rambled over me, I was saying that dreams are dreams until they're not. Everything that is in existence that we know, all of our technology and things that we are using, the phones and everything, fabrics, all of these things that we take for granted were once dreams. We all were born naked with nothing, and someone took care of us. So every piece of housing and even plants and garden, all of these technology that we take for granted and are comfortable using came from a dream, an idea, a spark. It's all energy. It didn't just happen. Someone put it together, some people. So a dream is a dream until it's not a dream. I don't know anything about what you're saying, Terry. I don't know if it's true. I'm not going to say it's false. I don't know. You're entitled to your opinion, and great. That's fine.
Well, Michelle,
but
I don't think there's a true or false truth. I think it's more of a possibility. I think the question is deeper than if it's true or false. I don't see how the true or false fits in, except you're saying, well, I think that dream is impossible, or I think that dream is possible. If you take it that regard, I can see true or false.
Everything.
But otherwise, it's more of a, is it possible? Is that dream inconceivable? Is that a dream that's worthless? Is that a dream that we should not ever instill in our youth? That all the religions you've been taught, all the governmental divisions you've been taught, all the things you're going to teach us about religion and race and color and all the things about philosophy and all the different things about religion. No, right? It's right. Yeah, it's all made up. People made those things.
Like I said,
everything is a publication copyright.
Until it's not.
Well, I'm just saying, all the books that are sold, religious things, copyrighted. They're all copyrighted. There's a lot of money in religion, everything. I'm not denouncing religion. I was raised in a father. What?
We've monetized things to
everything.
Make sense of and
I don't
to make
see,
a hierarchy.
I'm just saying I don't
so
see
I'm
a divine deity needing to sell anything to make his truth be known for the creation. I mean, why would I create something and then charge you to live on it?
Earlier.
That makes no sense to me. I don't get it.
Look at the lady who called earlier.
Carolyn.
She has had
her
life. From beginning to current has been under class, under below. She's not been able to attain the American dream. It's a dream. They call it a dream because it's a dream. Not everybody gets the dream.
So you're saying some dreams are unattainable?
Yeah.
That's like it's just like a pipe dream? Is that what you mean?
I didn't say it was a pipe dream.
We know what a pipe dream is, right?
Open.
Let's be clear. Some of our audience might not know what a pipe dream is. Some of our audience might not know what a pipe dream is. What's a pipe dream? Donna, we haven't heard from you in a while. Are you still with us? Donna, are you still with us?
Yeah, Donna's not with us.
I think we lost Donna. Hello? Is Donna still there? Donna, hello?
You're talking over Donna.
Donna, you still there? Michelle, we're hogging the mic, man. Donna, you still there? Hello?
You're hogging the mic.
You know how we are, Donna. Michelle,
put
you
on silent real quick. Donna.
Donna. What? Hello?
I'm putting you on silent. Donna can talk.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm here.
You there? Are you okay?
Yes, I'm here. I hit the mute button there. Sorry about that.
We didn't mean to leave you out. I thought we'd jump in, but I realized it's hard to jump in. It's like driving right in the somebody's in the speeding lane, and they need to move over, right?
Slow down, Terry.
What?
You can't drink coffee late. You need to slow down.
Oh, yeah. It's after, here on the East Coast, it's 11:30.
Yeah, chill. Let's chill a little.
Yeah, so, Michelle, what was I don't remember. What was it? What was the question?
The answer is you need to drink coffee before noon.
No, we woke up. We woke Donna up over there. She's sleeping on there. And
we have the technology. Everyone can. There's the technology that no one in the world needs to be homeless or without medical care, we have the technology and the means to even the playing field. The question is, why don't we? And the hierarchy suits certain people. And once you have power and privilege, it's very difficult to give that position up. And it takes a very different sort of thinking, which I think you were kind of alluding to, that would allow someone to level the playing field to a point that made everyone in the world have a home and have clothing and have food. We have the means to feed, clothe, and house every human being on the earth right now.
I totally
and maybe
agree.
You're not, and maybe you're not going to get some great expensive treatment for your rare disease. We don't have the resources to treat everything that's here at the moment. But a basic standard of life, we can actually do that. That can actually be achieved, like, not tomorrow, but very soon. But the question is, why aren't we doing it? And it's kind of a grassroots thing, and some people are working towards it, but it's like yin and yang. We've got people working towards it, and we've got some people working against it.
So how do you get people to work in the direction that you want? Is it possible that you led us into the direction that we're asking? How do you direct that direction into something that is opposed to status quo? The direction you graduate, you become an officer, or you enlist in the military and you fight other people. We fight the country from country to country to country. You become a politician. You divide further with our political beliefs. You become a priest or a preacher or whatever, your pope, whatever the religion, and divide. How do we unite human beings? Like, for example, 9/11. When 9/11 happened in the United States of America, the Twin Towers bombed with two planes, four planes. One died into a field, but that happened. It brought everybody in the United States together. Everybody all over the world. Stop for a moment. Right here in the United States, everyone bought flags. You saw the United States flag flying everywhere, flying flag everywhere. And everybody was so united. We were one country then. We were united. Something was so hard, something so unimaginable happened, never seen in this country. Oh, my goodness. It was pow, 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 pow. Every day.
Donna has the answer.
Crazy,
not
right?
Getting the top.
Right? I'm just saying. Visualize what happened. And when that happened,
we're
we stopped. And for that moment.
Speak.
Oh, you want to see? I didn't hear you. You're right. I got carried away. You're right. I'm bringing it back. I'm reeling it back in. But I was just seeing that day. I remember what I was doing, and I just we all do.
Meet yourself.
But it brought us together. Something changed our direction. We suddenly weren't divided by states or religions or race. We were one country. We were together and fighting together against somebody who hurt us that badly to this planet, to our country. So I didn't mean to interrupt you. That's not my thing. But I just get so caught up. And I believe there's power somewhere in our ability to change direction, to unite as one human earthling, one people on this planet, and realize that there are things that we can fight against other than each other. And that might be the nature. Man, there are several things. There's the man against nature. We have both, man against nature. We overcome man against man. We can work on nature. Nature's colliding with us right now. We're flying through space so fast, people don't even realize we're moving. It's as if we're sitting still. No, we're soaring through space so fast. You can't imagine. I mean, unless you read and go Google, how fast is our planet traveling through space? It blows your mind if you really, really look at the bigger picture outside of where we are right now. But right now, if you concentrate on what we're doing, we can change. We've changed so many times as human beings on this planet. We started out as cave people. We developed and now building spaceships that can travel to other planets. So it's all about perspective and plan of design. Or we could just train each other to just fight the rest of eternity until we blow each other up to demise, death of everybody, because we didn't change our direction. Is it possible, I think, is a deeper question, for us to direction change? Can we change the direction of our objective? Yeah. Is it possible, or is it insane?
I don't know. If you look real close, you can see my hair sticking way out from
traveling so fast.
Did I go too fast? Is that what you said?
Did that go over your head? Okay.
I didn't hear what you said at my speaker. My headphones are maybe not.
I said, you're talking about being going so fast. I said, if you look real close, you can see my hair flowing sideways.
Right? You feel it. Is that my other thing on a joke? I get it. Yeah, we are. We're soaring through space.
Yeah, I was trying to make a joke here.
About
fail.
The what?
Big fail. Fail.
So that's a hard one to answer. Anybody have an answer for that one? How do we direct? How do we change the direction? If we were in a board meeting right now with a corporation called, let's change the direction of our youth. Let's forget the old people. The old people are set. They're not going to change it. They're set. They've been born. They've been hypnotized. They've been brainwashed. They've been taught. They believe it. They've been enforcing it their entire lives. They've embraced it to the point of death. They're going to die. But a new generation will be born. What are we going to teach the new generation? The children who will grow up into people who direct the future. Not what we don't believe is possible. What is it we want? What is it we desire? You can't get what you want if you don't know what it is you want. But I guess the question should be, what do we want? Do we want to continue destruction forever on this planet because it's always been that way? Or do we want maybe a direction that isn't that way? Is it possible to teach the children that there is another way? Is it possible?
It's going to be the children that change the direction.
Oh, it has to be the children. The people who are grown-ups are too closed-minded. They can't see a possibility of any other way. They can't dream of it enough to make it reality. You can't make something reality unless you design it. You need blueprints to make it happen. You can't build a bridge without schematics and some engineers of design and all that to make it happen. You can't have a dream come true if you don't know what the dream is, unless it haphazardly happens, and that rarely happens, I think. So really what we need to do is ask ourselves, can it exist? What do we want to exist, and how do we make it happen?
Yep. So do we have any other callers tonight? Or
there are a lot of numbers on the radio, but nobody's hand is up. I think Michelle is off the switchboard. I don't see her number anymore. Do you think it's a dream? Do you think it's impossible, Donna?
No, I don't think it's impossible.
I mean, is it insane to hope that one day man might not fight each other?
That's, you just have to have faith in mankind to hope they do the right thing. Because there are so many things now that could demolish every one of us in a matter of minutes. That's just my thinking.
You're not wrong. How do we change it? How do we change the direction?
I don't know. I guess you educate the children. but then you have them trying to educate the children differently than when we grew up.
But the people who educate the children are the people who are paying the way, and the people who pay the way usually get to control things, it seems, because I mean, if we educate the children, that seems to indicate we're hold on a second, I'm going to put everybody on hold. Michelle just texted and saying early morning she has to go, so she didn't leave without saying goodbye. Thank you, Michelle, for joining us. It's always a delight to have you on the show and join us. Please stop in whenever, ever, ever you have the time. We appreciate you so much and your input. And we hope that one day you join our side and believe that we can change our direction and turn destructive weapons into tools of exploration and discovery. So thank you for joining us. And we'll talk with you next month. Or we'll talk with you soon before then, but we'll see you on air live next month, hopefully. Okay? Take care. So... Donna, where we were? I usually have so many notes on my desk here. It's crazy. So where were we? Do you remember? Do you follow it? Are you able to tell me where we were just now?
We were talking about your sewing machine. What are you into?
I didn't hear what you said.
Weapons of destruction, turning them into.
Oh, yeah, yeah, thank you, because I know it sounds crazy, it might sound crazy, right? I mean, certain things are crazy before they happen, everything is crazy before it happens. sounds crazy before it happens. But when it happens, you're like, oh, man, why haven't we done it? But you know what? I think the answer to that, Donna, is that we do – everything happens because it's supposed to teach us something. And everything we've learned from all the things we've been through, I think we can learn enough to do it. I mean, it's a matter of redirecting it. But we had to go through all the stuff we've been through as a human race on this planet, all the things we've done to each other. It's, I think, fundamentally has been connected and can be rooted somewhere in love, such passion, such burning passion, such immense, enormous passion, because you fight to kill over it, because if you believe it so fervently, yeah, and so impressively, so hard that you would kill or die for it, it must be overwhelming and extreme powerful, divinely sent. And so with that in mind, I mean, if everyone on Earth is fighting over it, why is it so hard to find that it's us? It's we're the present. We're the gift. Mm-hmm. Everywhere. Everywhere is the gift.
Mm-hmm. I think everybody wants to live in peace.
Right. So it's greed. Is greed the cause? What is it? I don't know. What? What did you say?
And there's a few that just want to keep chaos going.
In literature, we have to have conflict to keep the story propel us. So is that what life is, reality for man on Earth is, perpetual chaos and conflict?
Yeah, and
like
it goes
we
around and around. It's like life repeating itself after every cycle, just every generation.
Why? My question, that goes back to the question, why does it have to be that way?
It doesn't
have to be that way, especially when man becomes man against nature. Man against man is maybe a perpetual conflict that is inherent unless we redirect the DNA from behavioral change, and that comes from fighting nature. One day, if our planet hurling through space were to collide with so many asteroids or comets or whatever destroys our stratosphere and it breaks into our atmosphere and destroys us for whatever reason, or nuclear bombs accidentally going off because of AI. AI is getting faster. We can pretend it's not, but it is. It's growing every day. It's a growing reality that we've seen since children when the Jetsons played and all the things in fiction turned into reality. It's happening right before our eyes right now with AI. We'll never know the difference between reality and illusion. So I think unless we do something to direct our future, something may not go as planned. The question is, how do we do it? Not should we do it, but how do we do it? Hopefully one day minds out there will think about that and come up with solution. So I don't think the question really is about if it can happen, should it happen, is it crazy to think that it might happen, I think is irrelevant. The reality is, how do we do it? Because otherwise, we may as well say goodbye. For extinction.
I don't know. I think the realization is it will happen. I mean, if it can happen, it will happen.
The change, the transition to from that annihilation to discovery and exploration and discovery? Is that what you mean?
I don't know. I think men will bring this world almost
to extinction.
To the end of destruction. And then I guess cooler heads will prevail. I don't, you know.
Do you think it's inevitable?
That's what I hope.
Do you think it's inevitable that it will happen? Is that why the top wealthiest people in the world are cashing out a lot of their stocks and bonds and ownerships for liquidated assets to what, escape planet Earth? Is that why the rockets are soaring so much to take the wealthy somewhere else?
They're going to go with Elon Musk.
Can you start over? I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said.
I said, so they're going to leave the planet with Elon Musk?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, is a question mark. I mean, why are the wealthy so quick to liquidate things? Is there an exodus plan that is not publicized? Or I mean, the people who own the media control what we see and read and hear and believe. Everybody believes what they see and hear. So it's not that hard to pull a fast one if you want to get out and leave everybody behind. So I'm saying,
they're
going to
take
things
the
happen.
Money.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
They're going to take their money to a maybe exchange on Mars. Or what do they need money for?
Well, you don't need, but you need money to build whatever it needs. You need to go somewhere, or maybe even protect yourself. Maybe it's not even about leaving the planet as much as maybe building bunkers or something that could survive a catastrophic attack from each other on this planet. Has man given up on each other so much that he's going to destroy it, and only the wealthy survive because they had the means in which to do so? Are we so gullible that we don't see what's right in front of us? Right here is heaven. Men fight each other for something usually so biblical and something so
Torah, or living in hell.
What? Say it again.
I said, you think we're in heaven? I think we're living in hell at the moment.
Well, you know what? It's here. Whatever you make of it, I think, is what man wrote the fiction and the duality of existence. There's got to be good for yin and the yang. The good is, how do you propel goodness if you don't know what bad is? But I think that somewhere in there, religion and all the things of the government and land lines and blood lines and all the things that divide man's mind come into play, and for a reason. I think greed and profit, maybe control and power, maybe. I don't know. All I have are the questions right now. I have ideas, but my ideas aren't worth anything. Paper is what makes the world go round. Gold, aluminum, whatever man declares, coconut oil, cashews, who knows? Whatever man declares is valuable is so. I mean, he talks about religion, but doesn't treat man equal. He doesn't treat him fair. He destroys and beats each other. What the hell? I don't get it. It makes no sense to me. A lot of things make no sense to me, so much so that I wonder, am I the one with TBI, or is it really the world with TBI? And we haven't even looked at it. We won't allow the world to be examined because we're so busy fighting each other over land equations and certain things that make no sense. We're all the human race. We're one planet. We're earthlings. We're earthlings who live on different planets. Same planet, one continent, one country. Donna, am I going too fast? Can you slow it down?
Oh, no, I was so do you, I don't even know if I should even bring this up, but do you believe in, like, there's something out there other than us?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that you just rather not go there.
No, I would go everywhere. There's nowhere we shouldn't go. I think everywhere is the world. Everywhere is where we are. We're just floating through space, finding ourselves. We're discovering everything every day, hopefully, if our minds are open enough. So, yeah, I'll go there. Do I think there's something out there? I think we're out here. There's no out yonder. There's nothing, something beyond where we are. We are out yonder. Man talks about heaven and the sky and finding things out there. We are there. We're in heaven. We're floating through the heavens. And while we're floating through the heavens as one planet in a solar system, in a galaxy, and all the things that are swirling around through space so fast we can't even imagine it because we can't see us moving, there are others, yes. We can't be the only ones. I mean, only our imagination stops it from being so. Just because we haven't seen them doesn't mean that for example, I don't do parables here, but I mean, does your right hand always know what your left toe is doing? And you're in the same body.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. When we were children, we played a game in kindergarten. Someone, the teacher, would tell the student at the beginning of on the front of the desk a story. Tell them a story, a sentence or something. And by the time it went around the classroom, the kid at the end of the class and sitting at the end and last part of the chair would have a totally different story, or at least one that was connected somehow, but exaggerated or changed or modified, but not the original one. It changed through time in that one classroom, right?
That's life. Anytime anybody repeats something, it changed.
So my question then, Donna, is how does man so fervently fight over the words verbatim from things that are so old in writing and published by different editors who changed for language barriers and philosophical thought and amendments and addendums and additions and things that make the kindergarten game seem ridiculous. Changes so many times and edited so many times. How can you have something original written by someone who said they wrote it when you don't even know who published it and how much money is made from it? So I question everything.
Are you referring to the Bible now?
I'm questioning every written thing that's published, Donna. Everything published and written. Not just the Bible. That's just one of them. I mean, everything. Yeah. I mean, everything. So it's all about what we read. We become what we believe. What you read is what you conceive and believe and think. So reading is fundamental, but it's hard. I discovered recently a reading app that makes all the things if you... reading, whatever your memberships, everybody has so many memberships, streaming things. A lot of your streaming services provide free books, if you like the library almost. And I just discovered that recently. I can download free books because one of my streaming services. And reading more, because reading more, bringing it back to brain trauma, is one of the best ways to ward off things like Alzheimer's, dementia. I mean, it's about keeping the brain exercised and entertained and educated at the same time. So reading is one of the things I learned since last month. One of the best things we can do to ward off those horrible, horrible things that happen. Because I don't know if I've shared, Donna, did I tell you? I have a loved one who's going through that right now.
These are Alzheimer's, yes.
Alzheimer's, yeah. So, you know how, I mean, I feel it. Sometimes we talk about what's wrong with us, but and the dilemmas we face, and we all do. Everyone has an issue. Everyone you speak with, even children. Oh, I don't know what to do because so and so has my toy. It's a trauma that's real to that. We think, oh, that's so simple, but to that child at that moment, to ourselves, and we were that age. In reflection, there was a time when something so simple as your toy is missing was the most extreme thing happening to you at that moment, and nothing else mattered.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing else mattered. We were just younger, a different element, but still real, like we are right now. There's so many things right now, so many things that are real that we are ignoring because we're children caught up in our teachings. Because we've been taught so much so that the teachings were so smart. The teachings were taught so well that we know that if anyone comes and speaks against this teaching, they are evil. They are wrong. Deny their access to anything of logic because they contradict these words. How impressive of a writer who would write that in his own story so that no one would ever contemptuously dare say anything against it, for they become the demon evil one. It's absurd unless you're so caught up in it that you can't think with thought and love and reality check. Anything is possible. If we can dream it, we can make it. We can make it happen. I believe, anyway.
Of course.
And what's so hard about it? You say in story development, you need conflict. Without conflict, there's no growth. There's no development. But there is conflict. There's conflict, first of all, to change the entire direction. How do you take an entire military fleet from different countries, convert them into something of fighting Mother Nature? Because Mother Nature is becoming one compatible, one, that's not the right word, one quite a fierce opponent, a fierce, not enemy, because it's just a part of life. It's not an enemy. It's just a reality that our planet floats around with more ocean than land. Land is a minority on this planet. And this land is divided with continents and rivers and oceans, and so much so that not fighting each other is such a waste of time. It seems more logical that the people on that planet would prepare itself for catastrophic things that might happen, not even if it's not nuclear. I mean, we're not talking about man against man anymore. Now we're talking about man against nature. Nature is happening in front of us. If we don't do something, is it so extremely crazy, mad, wild, insane to think maybe we should stop fighting each other and start preparing to grow so that we might travel through the universe, maybe find out the answers to your questions that you asked, and also maybe prepare for, and at least foresee, we can travel in the universe, we'll see status, storm patterns or whatever, climate change or whatever happens in the world of nuclear, not nuclear, going too fast for my own brain. Something catastrophic with nature. We could fend off hurricanes, things that happen because of the spinning. I'm going to space looking at it because the way the Earth moves and flying through space, all kinds of things happen. Man can. I know he can. That's how we learn it. It's happening because we know that our planet is soaring like a galaxy and the galaxy through space so fast. Things are moving, man. Things are moving. So the Earth is spinning and the ocean, and it's like a bottle. You take it spinning, but it's flying. Right? Sounds crazy if you don't see it, but if you see it, you see. And something's happening. So we got to fight somehow Mother Nature, right? To defend ourselves, to protect ourselves, not fight, but to deal with the reality, the changes of ocean level change and temperature change and reality. And you don't have to be a multi-billionaire to find a safe place to live.
Yeah, I think climate change will be the end of our demise at some point, and not man itself, but man-made.
Man-made climate change because of like exhaustion,
yes.
or
yes.
Things that the really ridiculous
well,
way we
know,
treat our planet. You mean
not heeding to the warnings of, you know. The emissions
stuff like that. Just,
yeah. Well, Donna, you know, I personally have hope and faith that there is going to be a generation that comes along and says, you know what, we've had enough of this crazy repetition, this repetition of time, logic, and reason, and it's time for us to grow and use our own reality, and then this unimaginable illusion, this great gift of life, this oh my God, sky, the beauty, we are in heaven. We are floating in heaven. We're floating in heaven's face right now. And it's so much fighting going on that we can't see it. It's hard to see. So somehow we've got to make the children see that there is a different way, possibly, hopefully, a different way. It's take the right mind to see it that way. Do you think it's possible, or am I just a dreamer?
You're a dreamer. I'm kidding. No. We all have our opinions about things.
You think it can happen? Do you think it can happen?
Anything can happen.
How do we make it start? What's the start? Where do we start?
Well,
it's against the law in some countries to say things like that because it's against country rule. What?
I don't know where we start.
How do we start?
Oh, yeah.
So if there are any minds out there listening to this show, oh, you know what, Donna, there are only 3 minutes left. I should say some things about the show because we have to continue this. We must continue in our next episode next month, which is, let me open the calendar here and see when next month's show is. You've got to tune in. If you're listening to an archive show, call in live next time. We had a lot of people on the switchboard, but nobody raised your hand, so I didn't bring you on. But in April, 25th, April 25th, 4/25/2024, Anno Domini. So let us connect then. And next time you're on the switchboard, raise your hand and jump into the conversation, especially if you have an idea of how to start this transition from weapons of destruction to tools of exploration and discovery. That, you know what? We should do something about that. Donna, you know what we should do? Make a movie or something about that. I don't know. Everybody says that. No, what do we do? I don't know. I don't have the answers. Somebody have any answers? Write us. Give us a note. Give us a call. Donna, do you have any ideas? Say that again. What?
I think you let someone call in with the answer if they have.
Wouldn't
an answer.
That be great? If somebody would call in, that would be great. What a great episode! I think that we oh my goodness! Somebody called the answer. If you have the answer, give us a call, please. We're in the air again on April 25th. So, Donna, we have a minute, 45 seconds. Anything you want to say to our audience tonight? Welcome.
Well, thank you, and I thoroughly enjoyed myself tonight.
Well, good. We didn't get to hear much of your story, but that's a good thing. We're busy. So we'll get to know more about you in later episodes. And I'm so glad Michelle joined us. Michelle, if you're listening to an archived version, she's busy. We're lucky when Michelle gets to stop by. She's so smart, right? She is smart, but we're going to open up her mind. What's that?
Michelle to the rescue.
Well, you know what? I get you completely. But I'm thinking also that we want to thank her for giving us. But at the same token, we got to change her mind about possibilities. I think she doesn't believe that man is capable of doing that. But I think they are. I think we are. And you're a good example, and we'll learn more about that as we get to know you throughout the year. Once a month here on Brain Injury Radio Network, I'm Terry Smith, your host, Surviving Head Trauma. We'd like to thank Craig Cecilia and Kim Justice. They're running a great organization here. They're helping us get the silent epidemic word out there to break the silence because it prevention, this is Brain Injury Awareness Month, prevention creates awareness, and awareness, I got that backwards. It's awareness. Awareness. You got to spread awareness so that you create prevention because prevention saves lives. We teach people about what could happen, what might happen, how we survive. 10 seconds left. Donna, you want to say goodnight?
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night,
thank you for joining. Oh, you know, I've been practicing this. I don't have a little sign out, so I'm going to make one up. Good night. Good night. That's it. I'm working on one. Good night. Good night, everyone. I gotta figure out. Oh my goodness! All right. End episode. There it is. End episode. Good night.